This is a Glass Box Media Podcast.
Saturday morning recordings.
How are you guys? Are you hungover?
No, actually, I'm not.
I mean, like, I feel fine. Yeah. But I'm just like,
I'm low energy.
Yeah.
I've not had any coffee.
Late night last night. Because I mean, I only had like a couple drinks that had vodka in them. Mostly, I was just drinking soda because I had to drive, and also knew like I had to be up early this morning. I had to do a couple like work things before I came over here. So I was like, I can't get
crazy
tore up.
Yeah. I had a couple drinks, and you know me, I'm a low pourer. I don't pour heavy. My last one, I accidentally got a little crazy on the vodka, and it was like more than half of my cup was vodka. And I was like, well, this is shit. And I can't like, what, can't waste it, because like
you had a Keegan drink.
Oh
yeah.
Lord. I had an Anthony drink is what I had.
Oh yeah, actually that's very
true. Turn it up to 11.
Yeah, it was an 11 drink.
Oh my God, it was so cute. Anthony and Emerson like walked me to my car last night because I like parked in this weird like murder garage.
It was like a Saw garage. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't even ask them to. It was just like, that's the kind of people that we have in our friend group. I was just like, bye, guys. And they're like, where's your car? I was like, in that garage. And they're like,
you mean the creepy murder building? We're not letting you go over there. Yeah.
No, we'll walk you.
I mean, we have learned quite a bit from our catfish investigations.
What a fucking week. And then I got in the car with my rep and we're just chit-chatting, and we like, she's like, I think I'm being catfished by this guy. I'm like, oh girl,
no,
have I got a thread for you. I was like, I can't get answers. I was like, give me all the details.
First of all, the details are
fucking hilarious.
Oh,
she's
please
like,
share.
First of all, yes, I you're dying over here, Christina, because I didn't even get all the details. I got pictures. And then as people start asking questions, I'm like, oh, well, what's his name? His name's Fabio. No last name.
Okay, you've got to describe those
I was
going to
say the pictures
too, because we got to put one of those pictures up in our like show things. I don't care. So? Put him on blast. He's a catfisher. He's a catfisher.
Well, we don't know for sure yet because nobody's really found anything. So I'm hesitant to put anything up at this juncture.
Oh my God.
Okay. Until, because he's supposed to be in town December 10th. So we'll see. Like everything keeps canceling. So somebody asked his name. His name's fucking Fabio. I'm literally using air quotes that no one can see.
Can you please share with the group what Fabio does for a living?
Oh, Fabio?
Yeah.
He actually has, he's got a job as a diamond dealer.
Oh, a diamond dealer.
And he's from where?
He's from Monte Carlo.
Okay. And he's on Tinder in LA. Why?
Oh, because he comes to LA for work. This is so rational.
Of course. A guy named Fabio with a super crazy face-tuned face is a diamond dealer from Monte Carlo.
And does not believe in social media.
Right.
Which is why you can't find him.
Of course.
Yeah.
You can't find any trace of him online.
So, I'm sorry. I have been kind of out of it. I have not been on top. I'm
you haven't
sick.
Been on top of the investigation.
I'm sick, listeners. So I've been kind of like in the clouds for a while. So I've not been on top of the investigations. No one has found anything on Fabio.
Nothing.
No reverse picture matches. Nothing. Like this is just so.
All right. It's time to call Neve and Max.
Yeah.
We got to call Neve and Max.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other side of this. So, okay. So we got some really great information as I was out with her for the day, and somebody was like, well, you should do send him a goofy picture and have him send you a goofy picture back.
Right
That's
well,
we sent him a goofy picture
trick.
He never
responded
with a goofy picture.
Uh-huh.
Definitely had a read receipt though, so he'd seen it and he responded with some like other questionable NSFW stuff.
He's going to respond in 2 months with a goofy picture a la Joaquin Phoenix guy. Yeah. Did you guys see that guy?
Yes.
He was she's like
the worst.
She's like, this guy's trying to convince me that he's Joaquin Phoenix. And I asked him for a picture with like two fingers up or whatever. And like 2 months later, he responds.
Oh my God. With the
worst Photoshop you've ever seen of like Joaquin Phoenix's head.
This dude looks like he's using someone else's body and he's like
cutting his face out.
That's what Facetune does. Like when you over like smooth your skin, it does look like you photoshopped your face onto something else.
But there's something weird even beyond to that on, I don't know.
Well, he's got all these tattoos. Okay. So he's also got a bunch of tattoos.
And disappear.
The thing that was really suspect for me, if I'm honest, is the biggest, like, of course, there's the red flags abound, right? Like, it's like red flag. Like we're tossing
swimming in red flags. We're drowning in them right now.
Red flags. But the thing that really made me be like, yeah, no, there's no fucking way this is real, is he's got all these tattoos. And one of his tattoos on his fingers is a Star of David. But he had sent her a dick pic a while back. No hands in the picture. Uh-huh. Just saluting alone. And he's not circumcised, which to me, if you have a Star of David tattoo, I don't really know many people who aren't Jewish that have Star of David tattoos. And to not be circumcised and Jewish is like, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
That was my, also too, you have no hands in the picture. But,
So is that your...
So maybe that's him and just not his dick.
No, I think it's his dick and he's using this picture.
I know that is what would make sense, but what if it was the other way around? What if like that's him but he is ashamed of his penis, so he's like
penis, and that's the whole shape.
He just googled giant dick and
really
said,
this really hot guy named Fabio who's a diamond dealer actually can't get dates, and he's like shipping like his interest overseas to some random girl.
Shipping his interest overseas.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Fucking hilarious.
Have you guys been with like a not circumcised?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
I have once too. Yeah.
It didn't bother me.
It kind of weirds me out.
Really?
I'll be honest.
I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, because once it's at attention, it looks the same as anything else.
And yeah, as long as it does the job.
Yeah. But
utilitarian, Christina. Come on.
Yeah. I'm with you though, like a little bit. Like, I've never been with anybody.
Sharpay. You got like extra. I mean, and Sharpays are cute and everything, but I don't know.
But are you like, it reminds me of those, like, remember those slimy things that you would like push through your hands or like,
oh, yes, gel? It is.
That's
like
what
that.
It reminds me of.
Yeah, no, it is like that.
That's accurate. That's accurate. Speaking of though, like red flags, because we were talking about the many red flags of Fabio. Christmas is coming up, and you guys may be wondering what to get me for Christmas.
Red flags. We should get you a box of red flags.
One that you can just wave on a date.
Throw at people like you're a referee. Like, no.
I came upon this thing. It came up actually in my Instagram, which thank you, FBI agent, for like listening to, I guess, what I'm saying and recommending me.
And reading products. My thoughts.
It's red flags, the game.
Ooh.
Yes. I want it.
Yeah. It basically, it's a 400-card starter deck for red flags, and it's a party game about convincing your friends to go on terrible dates.
Yes.
I need to do this.
That sounds fun.
I think I saw it at Target, actually.
Yeah. Here's how it works. One of your friends is going to be single. Every other player uses perk cards to make a hot date that they think would be a great match for that person. You'll get characters like a brain surgeon that loves to cuddle, an Olympic gymnast that loves video games, and a famous musician that owns your favorite sports team.
Oh, wow.
But then everyone gets to play a red flag onto another player at the table.
Oh, I love it.
Now all of those perfect dates will have flaws like punches every barista they see.
Oh, God.
Wears a diaper because it's more convenient, or collects human skulls.
Oh, I love it. I think that's hilarious.
I need to get this game.
We Totally. So, you know, that if you want to know what to give me for so Christmas, fun. There you go.
Oh my God. That sounds I need the to most fun. Yes. That is I fucking like hilarious. It. That is hilarious.
So, yeah. Oh, I love that, A, it came up in my Instagram feed. I'm like,
they're like, you'll like this.
Thanks a lot. What is that saying about my dating this past year? They're like, you need to learn some
it,
stuff.
It says like, more about your search history. Like, yeah. They're just like,
Nope. Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, welcome, everybody. This is My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
And I'm Christina.
I never go second. I don't know why I jumped in there like this time. I'm not.
I'm just, at least we got it before the commercial credit.
Yeah. That's really good.
It's winning.
Snuck it in before the ad break.
Yeah. Hey. Look at us. Moving on up in the world. I know. We're going to get this thing down one
day. I know. One day. Probably not. Let's be honest. And I like it that way.
Yeah.
This is who we are and why should we change?
Yeah. I love it.
Change for no one.
Well, hey, do we have a fuck, marry, kill this week?
We didn't
even
think about it.
We do.
Anthony submitted
we
one.
We do, yes. So if you are a Patreon patron yep. of a certain level.
$3.
I think it's the three buck 10. Level.
Nope, it's three.
Okay, cool.
The three buck level.
Yep.
Your fuck, marry, kill suggestion gets bumped to the top. So Anthony, we need to put a limit on that because Anthony was like, it doesn't say just one of them. So he gave me like fucking 10.
Amazing.
He gave me a ton. And I was like, okay, which one do you want me to do right now? And he wanted me to do, and I have not seen this movie in a long time, so I'm going to have to really pull from my memory. But he wanted to do The Three Amigos because it's one of his favorite movies.
Okay, oh my God, talking.
Can we go back, though, real quick? Because you said Three Amigos, and it just reminded me because we went to the Daily Zeitgeist show.
Yeah.
And they do the over, under, and myth, and I got called up on stage, which was fucking crazy.
That was
amazing. My hand was shaking the whole time. But there was another girl that got called up and their under or overrated was Martin Short.
Martin Short was the overrated.
Which is hilarious to me because don't disagree with that.
Shout out to
Brock.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't either. I've never thought he's funny.
He was funny.
Shout out to Brock, that was your overrated. And to Dina, if you guys are listening.
Yes.
So you guys were awesome. We went out for drinks with them afterwards, and it was a really good time.
So much fun. But so hopefully you're listening and you hear your shout out.
No, I completely agree with that. I never thought Martin Short was funny. I just don't find that kind of comedy funny.
It felt like it was funny, though, when it was brought up. It was almost like they were like, here's your receipt. Please tell us what these charges are. And it was like the room was like oddly quiet. Well, I was like, so nobody else is agreeing with this?
Show,
I'm like, because I 100%
agree with context to our listeners, this show was at UCB Sunset, so Upright Citizens Brigade. So it was a room full of comedians who have definitely grown up with Martin Short and probably influenced their comedy in a way that like didn't for the rest of us who didn't grow up like, I'm going to be a comedian when I grow up and like studying comedians.
Sure.
So I think that's what made the room so awkward is like you're on stage with other people who are like,
in the comedy biz.
In the comedy business. And so they were like, why is Martin Short overrated for you?
Yeah. Very accusatory. I was like.
Yeah. So it was funny that.
Unpopular opinion. But I agree.
Anthony suggested that we do The Three Amigos. Because I was like, funny. Martin Short.
So you got Martin Short, Chevy Chase. Yeah.
Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I can't remember what their characters are like. This is the thing.
I don't either.
I think. So I'm going to go by them by people.
Characters in real life, I guess.
Yeah. So I think I have mine.
I think I do too.
Wait, hold on. God. Okay.
I'm going to have to.
No, I have mine.
I think I have mine. I have mine. Oof. All right. I am going to kill Martin Short.
Yeah.
I mean, 100. And I don't even hate him. I just have no interest
in. You're
not
going to kill Chevy.
Chevy Chase does fucking suck.
What the fuck you got to do with Martin Short then? Good God. You got to get rid of that guy.
Chevy Chase is a dick. He's a horrible person. So I would fuck Chevy Chase, get it over with.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, fuck Chevy Chase and then marry Steve Martin. And he can play the banjo at our wedding and it'll be fantastic.
It's going to be amazing.
Seems like the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You got to marry Steve Martin. Yeah, got to. We're all in agreement on that.
Although I think Steve Martin and Martin Short they toured together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I bet Martin Short's a nice guy, too.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I feel bad for killing him now.
He's just not funny, though.
Because Chevy Chase is so not funny.
Why do we hate Chevy Chase? I need more information on this, because I've never not...
Have you seen the stuff about his behavior on Community towards, like, Donald Glover?
No.
Oh, he's a dick. He's been a dick for, like, a long time.
See, that's why I'm like fill me in on this. I'm like, why do we hate
Chevy Chase? You know what? With that said, I'm going to reverse. Okay. I'm going to, even though... I don't imagine it's a fantastic experience, although I could be surprised. I'm going to go ahead and
probably
fuck Martin Short.
Chase. He's kind of short and seems like he has a lot of energy.
He'd probably
He seems like somebody that maybe would be like, would be creative.
Yeah,
Chevy Chase, I think, is somebody that like is lazy.
Martin
he looks
Short
like a
would
lazy
want to,
fuck.
Martin Short would want to please you. Yeah. Chevy Chase would want you to get on top.
Yeah. Oh,
which I'm fine with. I love being on top.
No, I don't mind it, but I mean, it's a lot of work.
But yeah, I prefer.
As long as it happens quick.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to change it actually since we've been talking about it. Because Martin Short at least seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Correct.
So yeah, I would, I'll just fuck Martin Short.
Mm-hmm. Get it over with.
You know? Yeah. And then kill Chevy Chase and marry Steve Martin.
You gotta marry Steve Martin.
Gotta.
He's the best.
I would ride off into the sunset with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems perfect. But yeah, I'd kill Chevy Chase. I'd fuck Martin Short. Marry Steve Martin. That's mine.
Yeah, I still feel like I need to know more about why Chevy Chase is.
Well, you can listen.
But I mean, I'm.
Yeah.
God, it's
you
like
you can do it. I won't judge you if you want
to
fuck Chevy Chase.
The great thing is that we don't actually have to follow through with this.
No, yeah.
So you know what? What do I
get
to do?
It's not real.
Wait. So we don't actually all get to marry.
What the fuck? So somebody should let Steve Martin know.
Yeah, Steve, if you're listening, I'm sure you are.
I actually have a connection to Steve Martin. We can talk about that.
Ooh,
off mic.
Is this like a 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, and Chevy Chase is tall.
Yeah.
So there's that. He's like 6'4" or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, in my experience with tall guys, it seems like they got the.
I mean, it's proportion.
Baby arm.
It's proportional, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we're just speculating.
Okay. So.
On something we'll never find out.
is
yeah again
awesome.
Steve, if you're listening,
I got sidetracked in my head just now because thinking about if like fuck, marry, kill was like real, and then I was like, oh, let's go back to that Tom Hardy one. Yeah. I was looking at so many videos of Tom Hardy last night before bed for some reason.
Hot.
Oh
yeah.
My God,
yeah,
he said for before bed for some reason.
I know we're like
the amount of side eye that you can't hear over the microphone right now for
I don't
some
know
reason,
for just, some
you know,
reason
like
I was
right
just...
before I went to sleep I just
and
went
you got
on
home a... fucking late so you got home at like 2 a.m after being out and you were just like, you know what, I want to look at just random Tom Hardy wallpapers for no reason.
Oh my God.
So called out right now.
You're like, I feel
attacked.
But for good reason.
I mean,
you're like, but for real.
Have you seen those pictures of him with puppies? Oh, it's the cutest thing you've ever seen.
Yes.
He's very cute.
He's so cute.
Handsome.
Really.
And his accent.
God bless America. Have you met my friend Christina?
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome if all of a sudden I was just like dating Tom Hardy?
That'd be amazing.
I mean, he's married. But
is he?
So it'd be weird.
It would be awkward. Well, maybe they're looking for a unicorn.
She's beautiful too.
Well, there you go. There are worse ways to go, right?
You really looked like you almost teared up at the thought that they might be looking for a unicorn.
Okay. Tom Hardy and nameless wife, you know, accepting applications. I mean, yeah,
but only for people of equal or higher quality.
Correct.
Because you can only be a unicorn for that.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not
Don't start sending us male people.
Exactly. We're not have you met my friend Christina in that way. This is specific. Just this specific situation.
Right. Correct. Yeah, if you have a connection to Tom Hardy and you know he's into that.
Yeah. Well, then you can. Then we're please
here.
Email us.
Yes.
Please. myworstdatepodcast@gmail.com. Have you met my friend Christina?
This is very, very important.
Yes.
Oh my God. If we get an email like that, I literally, dead right now.
He's fucking dead.
That's amazing. Have you met my friend Christina?
Oh man.
Well, should we take a quick break and then we'll come back with stories?
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
And we're back. Hello. Yay. You guys just missed a very intense conversation about comic books and aliens.
Yeah.
And universes.
And I also want to have we all seen that new Ted Bundy, Zac Efron picture?
Ooh.
I don't know what my feelings are. I am all over the place. I sent like 15 different emojis, a heart, a smiley face, a frowny face, a thumbs down,
a thumbs up,
a skull.
I'm
so confused right now.
It's conflicting because it's like he mastered the dead eyes.
Yeah.
He did a really good job at like having those dead eyes, but still hot? Question mark.
Yeah.
Still hot. Definitely.
It's hard.
Still hot, period. Yes. Yeah. Still hot. But why? Mm. I feel very weird about
it. I'm so excited for this movie.
The glass case of emotion.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. Especially like given what I've read, like how into it he was and how like invested in the project and stuff that he was. I'm so down for it.
Dude,
I'm so excited.
I am fucking stoked about that Summer of 69 movie. I'm stoked about that movie. I'm now stoked about the Dark Phoenix.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's good stuff coming around the pike, so that's exciting. Yeah. Is it coming out next summer, the Ted Bundy movie?
I think so.
Man, they've been promoting this thing forever. It better be incredible or people are gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
But he looks great. And Lily Collins plays his like ex-girlfriend or whatever.
I love her. By the way, she's the sweetest person.
Really? Oh, awesome.
She used to come in like all the time. And she could not be a nicer, better person.
Well, that's always good to hear.
I'm, like, so awesome.
So in love with her. So
that's awesome. That's great to hear. All right. So should we jump into some stories?
Cassie, stories. All right. So my email comes from... comes from an email.
My email comes from an email.
Yeah. My story is an email that was submitted by a girl named Kristen who said that we could use her first name. She says, "Hello all. I have been listening to the pod since it started and I love it.
Aww.
I listen to podcasts while I'm at work and I'm always laughing and having to explain to my coworkers why." That's awesome. "Thank you for keeping my days interesting. Now on to my most recent worst date."
Oh no.
I know. "I got my heart broken this past March and after a few rocky starts, finally got myself back into the dating world around May. After getting ghosted by guys who seemed too good to be true, I decided for the summer I would go on a date with anyone who asked. Why not, right? I was single. I felt
summer
like I was...
Yes.
The summer of yes.
I had that summer.
Yeah. Felt like I was single and I felt like I was holding myself back by having such high standards. I can get that. I think that's relatable.
I can too. And but I will say, like, it's better be single and hold on to those standards. As somebody, I'm like, well, I'll let her get into the story.
I think you can go. I think that's what happens after you do maybe a summer of yes.
You're like, no. I have those standards for a reason.
I mean, yeah. I can also
peel that back a little.
I can also see you being surprised as well, though, about like maybe some things that you thought you couldn't handle.
It's kind of like dress shopping, right? Like when you're wedding dress shopping, you have all these ideas in your head of what it has to be.
Right.
You know, like for me, when I went wedding dress shopping.
Let them pick one for you that you wouldn't pick for yourself and put it on and see how you feel about it.
Because of course,
maybe you are okay with it, or maybe there are so many good things about it that the one thing that you thought would be a problem is actually all right because there's a lot of other things that you like better.
Sure. Right.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I think that's the direction this is going in.
This is a worst date podcast, though, so I have a feeling this is not taking that turn. She goes, "I ended up matching with a guy on both Tinder and Bumble. Let's call him Liam. Liam seemed smart, really sweet, and he was super cute in all his pictures.
Uh-huh.
We got to talking, got a chuckle out of about our multiple matches, which is funny. That's hilarious that you'd match on both sides.
Yeah.
And quickly exchanged numbers. We decided to meet up a few days after that at a bar near where I live since he was just moved to the area and didn't know what was around yet.
Okay.
The night before we're set to go out, he calls me. Usually I don't pick these up, but I threw caution to the wind and did. He sounded really high, really all caps.
Oh no.
But that's was still nice.
That's not cute though.
No,
not cute.
I'm
never
telling
cute.
You that's the biggest advice and best advice that I was given when I match somebody is to get them on the phone before you meet them out in person. Because
you can tell a lot.
You can tell a lot about somebody on the phone. And even if people are uncomfortable on the phone, because some people don't like phone conversation
on the phone.
I hate it too.
I do, but there's something, and perhaps it's because I'm a musician, but the timbre of someone's voice, I mean, that's something that you make with your body. It comes from within you. And so I feel I've definitely like unmatched people have been like, this isn't going to work
right.
from the quality of their voice. Isn't a guy that talks like this?
Yeah, we had that conversation.
Like, yeah, no.
That's going to be a no,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And there's something about the back and forth that you can tell on the phone, even if someone's not a phone person, you can be like, okay, this person is safe to me, or I'm getting a bad vibe. It's just a little, it's one step above texting.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, so. That's true.
Because people can pretend anything on text. Well, it's why we talked about catfishing earlier.
Already, I know.
But people are less likely to, they have their guard down a little bit more when you're having a voice conversation.
Absolutely.
I think. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So he's super high on the phone.
Yes, super high. Okay. I find out that he was only in my area on a 6-month temporary job and was divorced with 2 kids back home. At this point, I was just thinking, okay, well, this will be fun. No strings attached situation. We can have a good time and then he'll leave and it'll be great. We ended up talking for almost 2 hours, which had me super excited for the actual date.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Turned into super high, but also very conversational.
Okay. All right.
Definitely not me high.
No, me neither.
Depends on the kind of high. Maybe more of a cocaine high.
Actually, yeah. If I get like high, I'll start talking about, well, basically the conversation that we had before we started recording again, where I'm like, let's talk about the universe.
You're like, okay, but aliens.
What is but, like? This is a simulation.
Are we all really here? Who knows?
I don't. You get really existential. Yeah,
exactly.
Who are we really? Anyway, then the day of the date arrived. He texted me around 6 to tell me he wouldn't have a car for the night, but that he would just take an Uber and meet me at the bar. He just needed to run and get a haircut real quick. Okay, fine. No problem. 2 hours.
Seems like a lot of information that you needed to convey.
Yeah.
You know?
2 hours roll by and he calls me and says he can't get a ride and he doesn't have an Uber account, but that he could get a ride from a friend. At this point,
what?
I really wanted to make it work. So I bit the bullet and offered to pick him up, bring him to my place, and then catch an Uber from there. By the time I get to him.
Both you and I.
I know.
Christina, and I've got my hands on my hips. Christina is flailing red flags. It's an.
Yeah. By the time I got to him, it was already 9 p.m. In person, he looks about 5 to 10 years older than his picture and not in the same physical shape. I don't really. In parentheses, she says, I don't really care about size. Just be honest. Totally.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Totally.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Look how you look.
Look how you look. You can't change it in person. Hi. And had definitely not gotten a haircut. His long, greasy surfer dude hair was
ew. Greasy guy hair grosses me out. Also, you lied about getting a haircut. Why?
What were you doing?
And if you're going to lie about something, don't lie about something that is like verifiable once she sees you. Well, you know what I mean?
I mean, all of it was a lie. 5 to 10 years older, like not in that shape.
But if you know you're going to see them that night, don't be like, I'm getting a haircut, because you're going to see them that night.
Or at least shower. So that your hair's not greasy.
Bare minimum.
I think we already talked about this. Dude, just shower. It's
just sexy.
Pretty much free.
Shower, it's like incredible.
Yeah. Cost pennies. greasy, long, super dude hair was under a baseball hat. He also brought a huge backpack with a computer in it, along with a juice drink in one of those quart containers that you find at restaurants. But still, I wanted to give him a shot for some godforsaken reason.
Is he homeless?
I know, right?
It's sounding like
this.
Yes.
Very random.
I'm getting homeless vibes.
It's very like standing on.
But can you imagine carrying around a quart juice container?
It's very like standing on the corner after you exit a highway situation. Oh vibes right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, it's
all very awkward.
Oh God.
So we get to the bar, which is one of those arcade bars, and decide to order drinks and food. As soon as we sit down, I notice 2 things. He seems to be a bit high. And he is sweating profusely.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You love that.
Oh,
it's your favorite.
No. I'm really into a sweaty man.
I love a sweaty guy.
So gross. I love a sweaty, greasy man. Ugh. Oh, God.
I ask him if he's okay. He assures me he is. And we order. Our food comes. And I'm chowing down. And I see him attempting to force his burger down, still sweating and starting to turn green. Oh, I ask again if he's okay. He tries to tell me he's fine. I'm like, no, dude, you look sick. do you need to go home? We can reschedule. He goes to the bathroom, is gone for about 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Comes back and looks a little better, but still not great. Still sweating profusely. He says
he's pooping. He is pooping.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's shit sweats for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit sweats all day.
Shit sweats all day. That's like a sheen.
Yes. Oh, God. Ew, a sheen. I hate that. Like, that gives me the worst visual of like, a film.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He says he must have had food poisoning from earlier in the day, but he's fine now. He decides he can't eat, so he gets his food wrapped up, and we go play some games. I'm not good at them by any means, but I end up beating him in everything because he's so wobbly, he can barely stand.
Is he on drugs?
That's where my head is. I'm like, you're drunk.
He's on, like, not like, oh, fun, happy pot high. This is like
amphetamines or something.
This is a drug. You don't. Yeah.
This could be drug shits.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh.
Ugh. I'm
gross. I feel bad. Oh, yeah. Anyway. Finally, I tell him we should go. He doesn't look great. He finally agrees with me, and we get an Uber back to my house to wait for his ride. The ride to my house is about a mile from the bar. He ended up falling asleep so hard that I had to slap him to wake him up when we get there. That's drugs.
Yeah.
That's drugs.
Yeah, he's on drugs.
100%.
And it's not amphetamines. It's something else.
Yeah.
It's got to be heroin. You wouldn't fall asleep on amphetamines.
That's heroin.
Yeah. Death. Yeah. Deaf
or pills.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm rolling you out of my car in front of your apartment at this point.
Like, yeah.
Well, they're at her house, remember?
But where did she pick him up from? Ubered.
She picked, I don't remember, like at his place or wherever he was staying.
He's taking you home.
Well, at any rate, we get to my house and he insists that his ride is coming. I'm super tired and want to go to sleep, but I also don't want to leave this random person in my home unsupervised.
So
I wait with him. He falls asleep again. I wake him up and ask him what the deal is, and he says his ride isn't coming. At this point, I just really want this guy out of my house, so I offer to take him home. It's after 2 a.m.
And I have to work the next day.
This whole time, I'm really concerned for his well-being because he looked truly sick. I texted him the next day and asked if he was still alive. He responded and apologized, and I never heard from him again.
No, that's drives.
I've since set higher standards for dates. Yeah. Although I'm currently dating a different guy who brought me to that same bar and spilled a full beer on me on our first date. So who knows? Cheers. And she says SSGGM. So she's clearly a follower from...
She's from Drinkrinos.
Drinkrinos.
Yes. Yeah. Kristen, that is...
Amazing.
That's
such a good story. The most awkward date.
That's drugs.
Chills.
I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't see how that behavior could be anything else.
Yeah. I did a summer of yes, too. You guys know. We got lots of fun stories out of it and everything. Because I thought that, too. You know, you go back and forth between... being like,
I have standards. I don't.
Well, and it's also like, it's the whole like wedding dress thing or like, you know, am I not giving a chance to something
that could be great?
That could be great.
Right.
You know, but you go back and forth because then you go on that date and you're like, no, I want the dress that I want. Let's be honest. Like no one wants to date someone that's so on funny. Drugs.
My dress story is completely like I literally went to go dress shopping and I was like, I don't want it to be strapless. I don't want it to be white. I don't want it to be two pieces. You know, like I wanted it to be all one piece and I want it to be super simple. My dress was two pieces, the opposite of simple. It wasn't white. That's the only thing on my list. And it was strapless. I'm like three of the four things on my list. Or were the complete opposite of what I had in my head. But, you know, so it's like, that's the thing, you play that game, you never know.
You do. It is a roll of the fucking dice.
Yeah, because I do stand by that. I think we need to know where our lines are, what it is. Like, because it's like we talked about, you know, circumcised versus uncircumcised.
Sure.
But is that a deal breaker? That's not a deal breaker, right? No, but drugs, deal breaker. You know, so it's like, where are your standards going to be? You can have preferences and then you can have hard standards that are like, I'm not breaking this standard.
But see, here's the thing. She may not have known. Like, he was like high on the phone, but like pot is not a deal breaker
for
me. Heroin is.
Agree. Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, how do you find that out to go on that fucking horror shit show of a date?
Absolutely.
You
know?
But there's something to be said too in general about deal breakers, because I think that there's things too that we're like, oh, I don't really want to date people with children. Is that a deal breaker? I mean, in my world, for me, if I was single, that would be a deal breaker. Like, I have no interest in raising children. I just don't. Like, my kid is, you know, older. And so, like, I'm just done with it. You know what I mean? Like, I never really wanted kids anyway. So, for me, it would be a solid deal breaker. Is that right? Is it okay? But I just know me.
Yeah. No, it's right for you.
I don't think that there's a right or wrong when it comes to what's right or wrong for each person.
I mean, as long as it's not racist. Well, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't get crazy.
No, bigotry is straight out the window. Okay, so I've got a first date story.
Yes.
Not first date. First kiss. First kiss.
Even better.
So it says, hello, you gorgeous women. I was catching up on my... Thank you.
She must know us.
Oh my God.
She must know our faces. Yes. Really well.
I was catching up on my backlog of podcasts this holiday weekend and had to send you my first kiss story. I hope this entertains you as much as it does me now.
Oh, yes.
I like that you put now, because she's now. Like, at the time, fucking awful. But all right. So the boy who gave me my first kiss was a total stranger. I have no idea who he was or even his name. Oh. I've never seen him since, that I know of.
Oh.
What? All right.
All right. Yeah.
I have not read this, so this is going to be fun. I grew up in Arizona, and when I was in sixth grade, one of my two best friends moved away at the end of that school year to San Diego. Her name was Mona. Mona was really smart and really funny, and I was going to miss her terribly. I was very excited when she invited me to come visit her for a week that summer, and my parents said yes.
Awesome.
So off I went. I love this. This is giving me coming of age movie vibes. I'm
getting Babysitter's Club vibes. Oh, I love it. Totally. Aww. Like,
it's taking me back to that excited feeling of like,
could you imagine like your best friend moves out of town and you get to go visit them in a week in a new city?
It's super
that
fun.
That happened to my friend growing up, only she moved to Johnstown. Not like a fun news.
That's where I grew up.
But yeah, I was like, it's not like a
like,
fun.
Who is this girl?
It's not a fun place.
I mean, it definitely happened to me as someone who like moved around a lot.
Yeah.
Like people would either come from out of state to visit me for a little while and stay with my family, or I would go back, you know, and stay with someone, stay with a friend. Yeah. It was always a great time, you know? Aww. So that summer, Mona's cousin, Kima, thank you for spelling. She phonetically spelled it, which is great.
Very smart.
That summer, Mona's cousin Kima came to visit Mona too. Kima was older, 15! Exclamation point. While Mona and I were still 12 and 11, respectively. She was as fun and smart as Mona, and I felt really cool for having an older teenage friend.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I love it. I feel it.
I feel all the feels. That week, we stayed up till all hours of the night, laughing, talking, and asking Kima to tell us stories about boys she'd kissed or concerts she'd gone to.
I love this.
And we bonded.
God. I love it.
Being older, Kima was naturally more physically developed, definitely a B, maybe even a C cup. Mona had also developed earlier than me. Her nickname in sixth grade from the boys we regularly teased was Mona Milk Mounds, to give you a clue.
Oh, God, I fucking hate kids.
That's
so
fucking
much.
Gross. That's disgusting. Ugh. Milk Mounds.
That's so gross.
Ew. I'm like God. Squeezing
Nothing
my own
makes
boobs.
Me want to wear an ace bandage over my tits.
Oh,
more.
My God. Ugh,
did you guys have school nicknames?
No.
I'm trying to think.
Mine, like, because my name's Christina Connor and I was like chubby as a kid, they can call me Crisco.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's so shitty. When I was in elementary school, I had a teacher who made a very unfortunate decision to write people's names that rhymed with something and like something cute. Oh. Like here's like cute little things. And it was like fourth or fifth grade.
Sassy Cassie?
Oh, I fucking wish.
Oh, no.
No, Cassie is a fine lassie, which no one understands because you're in like, what, fourth grade.
So you think so the dog?
Of course.
Yeah.
So then everybody's like, ooh, lassie. I'm like, that was fun. That was fun for a couple years. I do remember that, but that was like elementary school.
Yeah, yeah, no, I didn't have any nicknames in school. My dad used to call me Mophead.
Aw. That's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
That's not nice.
Why, Dad? Why? Dad. Come on.
My neighbor, my
Let's
my
make
best
you
friend.
Insecure about your hair. I know.
Very. My, yeah, mop head.
Very best friend growing up. Her dad used to always call me Little Joe. From,
that's cute. From like Little Women?
No, no. Oh. From like Bonanza or Ponderosa or one of those.
You lost us both.
Yeah. No, I don't. I lost me too. It was like a character in one of those shows. And then Little Joe stuck for a really long time too.
That's really that's cute. Cute. I like that. So, Mona Milk Mounds. Okay.
Oy.
So she says, I was barely in a training bra at that point. So to give you.
I get you.
She's flat chested. They're not.
Yeah.
Mona and her family lived outside San Diego, close to Escondido in orchard country. Her nearest neighbor was about half a mile away down a long dirt driveway. I love the visuals from this. We could just see their house from Mona's bedroom window. One late night during one of our talk marathons, we heard loud rock music coming from the house down the driveway.
Yes.
Mona's parents were asleep. Oh, this is amazing.
They're sneaking out.
I love this.
Sneaking out.
Mona's parents were asleep, and we knew that the neighbors were away, so we deduced that it was probably their teenage son throwing a party while they were gone. Somebody had the idea that we should sneak out and crash their party, so we did.
Did they make the pillow people in the bed?
Hope so. Oh, I hope so.
Oh, my God. That would have been me.
100.
Amazing. I remember walking up to the house in the dark, a big, beautiful A-frame wooden thing with lots of gorgeous windows, and seeing no one inside, music blaring. When we got up to the door, we realized that the party, if there even had been one, had dwindled down, and now it was just three boys drinking alone. And now
three boys,
the three of
girls.
Us girls, too.
Ooh.
The house smelled like cheap alcohol. Kima immediately started flirting with the cutest boy and shortly went upstairs with him. Ooh, yeah. Kima.
Ooh, Kima. Yeah.
You feisty.
You fast.
You work
you
quick.
She's like, yep, I will choose
Dibs.
You.
Dibs, and we're upstairs.
I Pikachu's you, sir.
Mona was also a natural flirt, and she too paired off quickly with the cuter of the two remaining boys.
Aww.
This left me with the last guy alone. I remember he was kind of chubby, and I thought, great, I get the ugly one.
Aww.
Which, to be fair, he may have said the same thing about me.
Aww.
A flat-chested tween barely on the edge of puberty. All I can remember of him physically was his build and his dark curly hair. We were alone in front of the porch together. He offered me a coffee mug of red wine out of the out of a big Ernest and Julio Gallo jug.
Oh yes. Oh God.
That's amazing.
That wine.
That he'd apparently been drinking all night. I wasn't really into drinking yet. Good for you.
11.
11 girl.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be cool, so I sipped it and pretended I wasn't 11 years old.
Oh, I love this story so much.
I was ready for my first kiss at that age. I'd already had crushes on boys for a couple of years and had sort of been going with a boy named Todd at the end of sixth grade. But our dates, in quotes, had been limited to a couple of outings to the mall driven by one of our moms.
Yes.
We had only held hands a couple of times and never kissed. Still, I was ready to take the plunge that summer and was willing to kiss whoever was willing to kiss me back.
There you
I
go.
Hear
okay.
you.
Yep. Just do the thing.
I hear you. Porch boy and I both knew what we were there for. Porch boy and I.
Porch boy.
We fumbled our way through bad small talk, and in the half shining, the light, in the half light shining out of the living room, we gravitated towards each other. Finally, our lips met. To my surprise, I felt his big, stale red wine tongue thrust into my Whoa. Lips, and I realized not only was this my first kiss, it was also my first French kiss.
Ooh,
ooh la
wow.
la. That's, she wrote ooh la la.
Ooh.
I still remember the way he tasted. He moved to my neck and began kissing me there. I could feel the suction of his mouth and realized I was getting a hickey too.
Oh,
girl,
no.
go.
Just knock it out.
Yeah.
Break those barriers down.
I mean, summer love.
As someone who didn't have their first kiss till I was 16, as I pull my glasses up the bridge of my nose.
me.
I was totally cool with this, as it was just another sign that I was doing some real advanced moves and getting experience points.
Yep.
I was excited about it all, even if I wasn't physically turned on much. I was happy to be there, period. A couple of hours later, Mona and Kima resurfaced and we went back to Mona's house. Kima regaled us with stories of her guy getting on her top off and getting some boob action.
Ooh.
Wow.
Kima got right to it.
Yeah.
We went to sleep.
She's 15. She's experienced.
She's experienced woman. we went to sleep and woke up the next day ready to play in Mona's swimming pool. What had developed overnight, though, was like a map of teenage lust on my neck. Oh. I had three or four big hickeys on the left side of my neck, the kind you need a turtleneck to cover up. No such luck in Southern California in the summer, though. So Mona and Kima and I tried our best makeup techniques to hide them. I didn't even own concealer at that point. I think maybe I had blush, and that was about it.
Oh, no.
Kima had some more makeup, though, and between her handiwork and me popping my collar... popping your collar. We thought we did a passable job. We went to the backyard to swim. We were out there for a few hours and came home for lunch. Mona's mom wanted to speak to us. To her credit, her mom was really cool and not shaming in any way. She told us that she knew we'd gotten really close that week and that we were teenagers, or almost so, and that we were bound to be curious. And we are sweating. Sure that she knew that we had snuck out and messed with the neighbor boys until she asked us if we'd given each other the hickeys ourselves. In all caps.
She's like, girls, it's okay.
Experience. It's experiment. It's fine.
It's going to happen.
Oh my God, I'm cringing right now. Oh my God.
She had no idea we'd gone to the neighbor's house.
And you know what? I'd be like, yes, we did.
Yeah, yep. That's what happened.
That's what happened.
She had no idea we'd gone to the neighbor's house or hooked up with the boys. She just thought we were being hormonal teenagers and, I don't know, practicing kissing on each other. Hell yeah. Oh. The three of us girls were flabbergasted and immediately concocted some crazy story on the spot about Mona accidentally kicking me in the swimming pool and bruising my neck.
And she's like, okay.
And she wrote, it's totally not a hickey, Mom. Ew, how could you think that? That's ridiculous, etc. We could tell she wasn't buying the story, but she didn't press it any further. Luckily, a day or two later, when I flew home, the hickeys had faded just enough for our minimal makeup to work, and I was safe from my own parents' questions. I think Mona's mom must have just kept it to herself and not told my mom anything, because my folks never said a peep to me about it. I continued on my merry way into seventh grade, content that I had finally had, one, my first real kiss, two, my first real French kiss, and three, my first hickey. Thank you, Red Wine Porch Boy.
Oh, wow. My God.
She says, keep up the great work, ladies. I'm always entertained by your show.
That is fucking that's fantastic. Life.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
That is the most lifeiest of stories.
Yeah, it
Mom
is.
Mom was like, girls.
Ladies. No shame.
No shame. It's perfectly natural.
It's perfectly normal. We all do it, but I just need to ask.
If you have questions, I want to be here for you.
Oh, my God.
She's that mom.
She's totally that mom.
The fact that she was cool with like the idea that they were all like making out in the bedroom together.
Well, that's the thing. I was talking to my coworker because her boyfriend has two teenage children, one who's like 18 or 19 and one that's like 15 or 16. And her best friend is a gay guy that she goes to school with. And then, you know, she's got a girlfriend and they were both over and she was like, they're going to stay the night or whatever. And my friend's boyfriend was like, no, that guy needs to go home. He can't stay the night with you. And so my friend tried to be like, you know, he's gay, right? Like nothing's going to happen.
Right.
And he was like, no, but it's still like the principle of it. Like he needs to go home. Whatever. You make whatever call you want for your own kids. But the thing that I brought up with her was like, does he not realize that like straight girls mess around with each other all the time?
Especially you know, like in the teenage years and stuff.
You think you're keeping her from like making out with some guy by sending him home, even though he's gay. You have less of a likelihood of anything happening than even if she's there with girlfriends.
It's gonna happen
anyways.
Oh, those are really fun stories, like experimenting teenage stories, but that's another.
Maybe send us some of those, too.
Yeah. Well, I've got an email. We did a shout out for like awkward meet the parents ones. So we got one and I want to share this one, but we're still looking for some because I think the episode after this we'll do like a holiday one, like an awkward holiday one. So give us your awkward holiday date or meeting parents stories.
Did someone take you home to meet their parents like in the first couple weeks of dating? Because that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I want to hear about
all those stories.
Okay. So this one comes from a guy that emailed in a bad date story a few months back. And he says, I really enjoyed it and appreciated your comments. So he says, anyway, I don't personally have an awkward meeting the parents story myself, at least not any more awkward than usual in that situation, because sure. they're always going to yeah. be awkward. But I was witness to my brother bringing his girlfriend to meet the family for the first time and her unusual behavior. My family, parents, other brothers, cousins, mostly lived in the East and were on a family vacation in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Yeah. My brother had actually been living in California for the past couple of years at that point. He had been dating a girl and they had quickly grown into a serious relationship over the course of a couple of months.
That's quick.
That's quick. That's quick to go home for a holiday.
Yeah, that's tough. Oh, where's the line is pretty long for me, yeah. like on meeting family.
I
yeah.
agree.
Well, I think too, because we live so far from family.
Yeah.
But I think too, there's also that it should be said that parents, grandparents, hey, baby, stop pressuring. You're like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? Because yeah, I think that does force you to bring people home that you otherwise might
not. Stop making people feel weird about coming home alone
over the
holiday. Yeah.
So he brought her out to meet the family on this vacation. The first impression was different. In the past, he's dated some girls that behave like normal people. not saying this girl was ugly or anything, but I'll just go ahead and say she was kind of trashy. Oh. She had huge fake nails and a tramp stamp that said, Mi Vida Loca.
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with long fake nails or having a tramp stamp because I feel.
But I'm seeing is like this like family in Hilton Head, South Carolina, wearing like
they're buttoned up
chinos
cardigans.
And cardigans, and then I see Cardi B coming in.
Yes. Oh man! And listen, I'm
like, there's nothing wrong with the chinos, and there's nothing wrong with Cardi B. It's just a different
one of
life.
These things well, is not
and
like
and the,
the
thing
other.
Is, again, yeah, I don't. People like to shame tramp stamps. I don't because I'm like, first of all, that was a trend for a while. Secondly, it is a flat surface that makes sense to put a tattoo there.
Yeah. Right. And I'm like, you don't see the same amount of, I actually get more like side eye to tribal tattoos.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because
I'm just
like, come on.
Unless that's from? Part of your culture, stay away from that.
A tribe is, I had $50 in 1993. That's the tribe.
Yes. My tribe is, I got a free tattoo from my boyfriend.
I'm like, I have a tramp stamp. It's covered up with that Phoenix tattoo and stuff now. But I'm like, everyone did it.
No, everyone did it. I have no shame.
It is a solid spot.
Like it is. It's flat. Yeah, it makes sense. It ages well. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Mi Vida Loca.
I don't have a tramp stamp. I'm not
Mi
sitting here.
Mi Vida Loca.
But it says Mi Vida Loca. Yeah. That's what it is.
I know.
That's what you're like. It's this type of girl. This girl is dancing on the bar at Coyote Ugly.
Yes.
That's what this girl is doing.
Dude, I want that to be the title of the episode for some reason. I see it in my head.
I like it.
I love that tattoo. And I love this chick. So, you know how when you meet your significant other's parents, you're normally on your best behavior, have good manners, that sort of thing?
Dress it up a little.
Yeah. She didn't do any of that.
Oh.
To get to the point, it all culminated in this girl letting out the loudest burp I've ever heard right in front of everyone as we were settling in for the evening and watching TV.
Oh.
I'm a guy and grew up with three brothers and a dad in a house full of gross dudes. I still have never heard a burp like that.
Oh, my.
I love this chick.
I know.
Mi Vida Loca. I'm like, what are you doing for Christmas?
Oh, my God.
The look on my mom's face was priceless. She was shocked and mortified. It's not like letting out a burp is the worst thing in the world, but in that situation of meeting the entire family for the first time, and that's how
you behave.
I would have been mortified.
Oh God, I would have
died.
It really was like Cardi B meeting. Like
I appreciate this woman. I appreciate her for being like herself, but at the same time,
try.
Yeah,
you didn't even try.
Yeah, no.
All I could do in that moment was laugh because I honestly felt bad for my brother about how bad of a first impression his girlfriend was making. They ended up getting engaged.
Wait, what?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Like 6-7 months into the relationship and got married.
Wait, what? system. But, that's a turn I did but, not expect.
Okay, how drunk were those parents at that wedding? His mom was wasted.
Pearls, clutching pearls. Like,
I always think about that episode of Friends where Phoebe marries Paul Rudd. Yeah. And he's like, why is mom so calm? Because they don't want him to marry Phoebe. And the dad's like, I put a sedative in her drink or whatever. So that she would be like, okay with the wedding. That's this mom.
Yep. Yeah. But guess what? They ended up getting divorced after being married for about a year. Go figure, right? I guess her vita loca got a little too loca.
Oh, no.
Thank you much, dear. That was awesome.
I love it.
Amazing.
I want more of those, please. More awkward meeting parents. More awkward home for the holiday stories. So good. Please, please.
I am less nervous, way less nervous to go meet a significant other's parents. What makes me sweat profusely.
Oh, yeah. Them meeting yours.
Them meeting
mine. Oh, God, yeah.
And it's not that I'm worried they're not going to like him. I'm
they're
going
to do something.
What is going to come out of their
mouth?
I'm
like, guys, I swear to God.
Embarrass me.
Don't embarrass me, Dad.
Isn't that crazy?
Don't call me mophead in front of my new boyfriend.
Oh, exactly. No. Don't break out the photo albums. Don't tell any stories.
No stories.
Oh, nothing. It's my grandpa. God. Last time we were over there, he was just like, so what are your thoughts on this insert political situation here? Oh, I was like, no.
You're like,
I'm
please
getting
don't.
Sweaty just like thinking about it.
Don't do this.
You don't do this to me.
Yeah, I get so that's what makes me nervous is bringing someone home to meet my family. I'm not nervous. I'm like, I'm fucking lovable. Like,
I can be charming.
I can be charming. Yeah. I'm not nervous about like meeting
as long
a
as your
others.
Grandpa doesn't ask me any weird questions, please. Like,
exactly. All right, Cassie, crazy in love time.
Okay, so. I was actually going to do, I was thinking about doing, because there was a crazy, back to Drinkarino. This is the most Drinkarinos episode ever.
We should shout them out. We should let them know that this is like a.
Dude, but this week was just like solid. We were obsessed with it. We were obsessed with it this week. We deep dove.
So speaking of like catfishing, there was a crazy catfish story somebody had posted. And I was thinking about doing it, but I was just like. I don't know. It was like, this is going to be a super catfish heavy episode already. So I was like, I actually went in kind of a different direction.
All right.
And I'm going to regale you with the story of the murder of Steve McNair, also known as Air McNair. And you know that name because he was the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Pretty famous quarterback.
I don't know the details of this. But
this is the football nerd in me coming out that I would do.
What is football season? That's
all
right.
Yeah. And looking at our stats recently, I'm like, we got a lot of male listeners. So this will feel nice and comfy for maybe some of our guy listeners.
Yeah, get cozy.
Yeah, there you go. So get cozy and buckle up. For the murder of Steve McNair.
Okay.
It is the July 4th weekend of 2009, and Wayne Neely stops by a crash pad that he shares with his good friend Steve McNair and another guy. And it's just a crash pad that they have in like the downtown location. It's near the bars. And it's a place that, you know, again, it's a crash pad. It's not like their main location where they always live. He walks in and he sees what looks like just, hey, somebody was up partying pretty late last night. Mm-hmm. Dude on the couch, and it's dark in the room, and he sees a woman laying on the floor, and he thinks, oh, passed out, mm-hmm. party night, whatever. And then as he gets closer, he realizes that it's Steve McNair, and he has been shot, and he sees bullet casings on the floor, and he sees that the woman is also shot and is laying in a pool of her own blood.
Bye.
So what does he do?
Panic.
No, and I'm sorry. Calls.
Not the police?
No, he doesn't call the police. He calls his good buddy that they also share this crash pad with and has his friend come over.
I will never understand why that is your first
that's
instinct.
That's weird. No, it is weird. That's weird. That's
it is
fishy.
Weird. Now, here's the thing, because this is, I also, as I was going through this story and I got into the deepest hole, I'm not kidding, even up until the point when you knocked on my door this morning, I was listening to a podcast about this. I was in the deep dive.
What podcast?
It was actually Sports Illustrated did a three-part series about Steve McNair's
interesting.
Death. It is interesting. I found it actually to be one of the least informative things that I listened to. Hmm. Also, they did an interview with a guy on there that was one of his old college professors who 100% sounds like Cat Stevens. And I could literally not get it out of my head that this guy, I was like, are they literally just
talking to Cat Stevens?
I literally put it on out loud and I was like, Chris? Oh, no, not Cat Stevens.
I was like,
Chris, who am I talking about? Cat Williams. Thank you.
Cat Williams. Cat Williams. Oh, even better.
That is so much better. Because in my head, I was like, how do you know what Cat Stevens like? Why are you that familiar with his speaking voice? It's weird.
No.
Cat Williams.
Even better.
That's
even
amazing.
Better. Oh, my God. So if anything, just go listen to the Sports Illustrated things just so you can hear the guy who sounds fucking just like Cat Williams.
No, I cannot get over that. That is not going to be your normal reaction.
Well, but you
when
know what?
You walk so, into a place and two and people are dead. Shot dead.
Yeah.
And and it's your friend that you know. Yeah. I'm like,
I'm sorry, if I walk into your place, I see you dead, I'm not gonna call Keegan first.
I scream and run out and you call 911 immediately.
Yeah.
Like that's
I guess the only reason why I gave any amount of like
because you don't know if someone's still in the house at that point or anything like that.
I feel the same way. But I've definitely listened to like stories, podcasts or watched Datelines or whatever where they're like, then they called their mom and you're like, what? Why? What? Sometimes I think people have weird reactions and they're like, I don't know what to do. And then they call, you know.
Yeah.
And it is always weird and that shouldn't be your first response. Your first response should be, of course, to call 911.
True story. But here's like case in point. And we can cut this out if Chris doesn't want it in here. But when Chris had a heart attack, his first phone call was to call my dad. He's like, I think I'm having a heart attack. He, in his mind, he was like, this may not be an emergency.
You don't want to overreact.
So I don't want to overreact. Yeah. And my dad was like, get off the phone with me. I'm on my way, but call 911.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think that you just don't, you know, you're in this
place. I mean,
this
is like, a murder, is so it's different, but.
Or is this, am I losing my mind?
My dad did the same thing. That's perfect.
So pause. Let's recap for our audience. We just referenced our Encyclopedia Chris downstairs. And he was saying, our Chris Tanica. And he was saying that it's possible that they didn't call the cops first off because this is a high profile person who probably had drug paraphernalia possibly lying around, was possibly with someone they shouldn't have been with.
Was definitely with somebody he shouldn't have been.
Did not think about that.
I didn't think about that either. Maybe.
That's trying to protect his reputation.
That's totally
that makes sense.
I mean, we're talking about the most famous person really living. Well, I mean, it's maybe not the most famous person in Nashville because of country music, whatnot. But I mean, this is somebody who crosses garbage music lines. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
did I say that? It was an accident. You can cut that.
Yeah.
Ooh, yikes.
Ooh,
yikes.
Hot take.
Device. Yeah, that was a hot take.
That was my overrated for the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is the thing. He's like one of the most famous people living in Nashville at the time. So maybe that is. It's a very valid point that this could have been. So at any rate, I say this because here's the thing. In a case that ends up being quote unquote solved in a matter of days and should be and for all intents and purposes is a
first of all, thank you so much.
For saying intents and purposes.
Instead of intensive.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is one of my irregardless are my two like biggest pet peeves.
I hate espresso.
Yeah, that's
espresso.
Too. But yes, espresso. For all intents and purposes.
This is a very cut and dry case that is literally quote unquote solved within days. Like it's wrapped up. It's cut and dry. So the cut and dry portion of this case is that Steve McNair is found with his
mistress.
Thank you, mistress. Why couldn't I think of that word? He's found with his mistress. Okay. That is the
so
woman.
Is he married?
He's married.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. This is like his mistress, but they have a very open public relationship. So they're constantly seen, like they're not hiding the fact they have a relationship.
Okay, so they might maybe they have an understanding, you know. You know,
yeah, maybe he just doesn't give a fuck about his wife.
Yeah, it could be that. Yeah.
I mean, and you know, and from many of the things that I read that they were like in you know, he and Michelle were going to get divorced, all this stuff. There's lots of things. But the wounds when they look at the crime scene. So here's the things. The one thing that they notice right away is how he's killed. He has two shots to the chest, two bullet wounds to the chest, and a bullet wound in each temple.
Oh, geez.
They really wanted him dead.
It's four shots.
Right.
All kill shots. And then his mistress, who is Shahal Kazini. Sorry.
Okay.
Shahal Kazini is found on the floor. Her gunshot wound is a kill shot
behind the ear. in the neck,
basically a headshot that looks self-inflicted. There is gunshot residue at the site of the entry wound, and also they find trace.
So it was a close. It was a really close shot.
Yeah,
then
it was. It was yes.
Okay.
Direct shot, right? Mm-hmm. Like so, gun to skin shot. Mm-hmm. They find the gun underneath her body. There is a solid spot where there's no blood underneath the gun, and so it's blood over top of the weapon. And no, so okay, so gun under mm-hmm, her. Mm-hmm. So it's basically they're like
she killed him and killed herself.
She killed him and killed herself.
Okay,
and that is what the conclusion of the story is. That is what the Nashville police have concluded, that the murder it is a murder suicide. So, talk a little bit about their relationship. Steve McNair meets Shahal Kazini at her place of work, which is she works at Dave and Buster's in Nashville.
I haven't been to a Dave and Buster's in forever.
Me neither. Kind of down. Would go. Let's
I
go.
Know. We talked earlier about like an arcade bar kind of thing. And I was love like, that kind of I stuff. Love that shit. I would love to have
the best.
That would be the best first date. Mm-hmm. You know, like have some drinks and play Mortal Kombat with somebody. Yeah. I'm fucking mm-hmm. so down for that.
I want to play Centipede. It's fantastic.
Street Fighter 2. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay, anyway, we're getting
all right, sorry. All right. So they meet at Dave and Buster's at her where she works. And they quickly start this affair. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's very into him. They are, I mean, they're talking like future plans and all of these things, which she's been super excited about this relationship for a really long time. And they had been dating for quite some time. But as of June in that year, they had started to, he'd kind of started separating himself from her. And
so how long about her, do you think they've been dating?
Like a year.
Like a year?
I think okay. Was the total. Like it wasn't like a super
long enough
relationship.
For her to be invested.
Yeah, though. She's invested. She caught feelings for sure. And he was like somewhat invested with her. And her, he like decided to get co-signed for her name on the car and everything in
Not
an Escalade.
Not smart.
Got her an Escalade. So he's tossing money in her bank account, like they're invested in mm-hmm. in whatever this relationship is.
Right.
However, whoever sees it, this is like a very and again somewhat open relationship. Like they go out in public together. They're you know they're constantly seen together. This is not like he's some side piece that he is super hiding that no one knows about. Like this is a very they're well known as
it's a relationship.
It's a
real relationship.
Yeah. Well, as you know, as the relationship progresses around June of this year, 2009, he kind of started pulling back and, Shahal finds out, oh, by the way, Shahal goes by Jenny. So you'll hear a lot, like if you actually do some digging, they do refer to her as Jenny. She,
which is a common nickname for Shahal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that she just wanted to disassociate maybe herself from right. like a name that is, I can understand that. Like if you have a name that's maybe a little difficult to say or people mess up a lot, you just want to go by a nickname that's easier.
Very, like people will judge you if you have a very sure. ethnic name as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she's, so. Yeah. She's an Iranian immigrant, so mm-hmm. there's, you know, she's, you know.
And this she's is in Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. You want to be a she's Jenny. Like, you do not want to be a Shahal.
Shahal in Nashville.
In 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, she's, Yeah, if you're Middle Eastern after 2001, I understand why you would want to do that.
Literally the whitest name, too.
Jenny.
Jenny.
The only thing whiter would have been Becky.
Yeah, right. Rebecca. So, yeah, she's, you know, she's into this you know, relationship, and he's giving her money, tossing money her way, all of this stuff. And she's always been known as her by her friends as a really hard worker. And, you know, all of her friends, you know, start to say that she starts to slack off because she's, you know, now dating this guy. He's really, you know, throwing money at her way. But then all of a sudden, as the story or as their relationship starts to become rocky, she finds out that he had another girl over to his apartment.
For fuck's sake, dude. Put it away.
And so there's tales of this Leah girl that was at her house, at his house, that had been also one of his mistresses. Ugh. Shahal follows Leah in her black Escalade, apparently. That's the...
Okay.
There's, you know, there's some jealousy. They feel like there's jealousy issues happening. Then also, too, the money starts to... become an issue. She's got this Escalade that she cannot fucking afford, you know, working at Dave and Buster's. Yeah. And yes, he's throwing her a little bit of money here and there, but, you know, she really can't afford a lot of this lifestyle, you right. know. She also, at the same time, her roommate decides that she's going to be moving. This Kia that she unloaded on a friend, her friend's like, I can no longer make these Kia payments. Now she's got like two cars, an apartment by herself.
Well, it was kind of shitty of her friend to do that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot happening at once. So it's right. like rain it pours kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things going wrong.
Well, and this is really interesting. If she is going out with him on the regular and he's buying her stuff, that she can almost ignore or compartmentalize the fact that he does have a wife.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like trick herself into thinking like, okay, this is going to happen. This is the trajectory right? of it. Or
like he's going to leave his wife and then I'm next, to find out that like, no, probably not.
No,
like,
he's probably not going to leave his wife.
And even if he does, how many other women is he seeing? Like absolutely. You're not next in line for the throne. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
So, so she finds out that he's been kind of seeing this guy or seeing other women. She's, you know, kind of looking at this relationship, like, where is this going? Where is this heading? And, something happens. This is the weekend of July 4th. As the weekend's progressing, she had gone out with Steve. They were together. I believe it was the same weekend, earlier that weekend. She gets pulled over for a DUI. Steve's in the car with her, and she gets arrested for a DUI. Steve gets out of the fucking car and gets in a fucking taxi and takes off. Like, doesn't come to bail her out, just kind of like leaves her nice fucking man. High and dry. Yeah.
Sounds okay. real nice. Real so, good to women, this guy.
Well, I'm getting that a lot sense. Going on. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So she has an apartment she can't afford, two mm-hmm. cars, and now a DUI.
And he was in the car with her. So it's kind of like.
And takes off.
Yeah.
And so she's, I'm sure at this point, like questioning their relationship and like
where. Not to speak ill of the dead, but.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here that it's, you know. There's
seems like maybe not the nicest.
I mean, or he could have helped her out, not even just like with financially, but even like been a support system. I mean, he did kind of get her into this situation. The very least he could do would be.
I mean, here's the thing. At the end of the day, she's a grown up who made choices yes. that weren't wise for herself.
Right.
She could have protected herself better. But this guy, I think I'm just triggered because I feel like this is such a persistent thing with the way that we treat our athletes in this country in general, where they get to get away with just like treating the people in their lives, specifically the women in their lives, like garbage.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and are consequence-free of that for the most part in a lot of ways.
Well, not this guy.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously, clearly, I'm not saying like don't. Yeah. This never should have happened to him.
Right.
Nothing he did could have ever warranted this. But I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's lots of information even like leading up to it as far as like what the police are finding out, like communications between the two of them, some of the text messages that are released and the way that the, you know, some of the conversations that they'd had leading up to this weekend. It's just Here's the thing again, you know, so friends of Jenny are now like, okay, but what about, you know, she's not the kind of person who could handle a gun. She's not there's lots of questions. The thing for me is at the end of all the research and the digging and all the things that I've looked up, I kind of agree with the Nashville police. This is a pretty fucking cut and dry case. It does all the evidence truly does to me in what I've looked up does look very simply cut and dry. Like this is, and I think that what you're seeing is a lot of people trying to make a story out of, you know, keep the story going, keep the, you know.
Well, and at the end of the day, I'm sure her friends and family don't want to believe that it came to that.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people, you know, if they're put in that situation, having, you know, had someone close to me commit suicide, you do, one of the things that you have to deal with is feeling somewhat responsible.
Yes.
Like, is there something that I missed or something else that I could have done? You know, so I'm sure that that's part of the guilt where it's like, oh, we'd rather believe these other things
sure.
than deal with that.
It's hard too, because clearly she was underwater in some ways. And there's no way that they didn't know that, you know, and
felt like she was in responsibility.
And so they're feeling responsible for not having done more to either detect that she was in such a bad state or help her more.
Yeah.
You know, and so
people do have a breaking point.
Sure.
You know?
And one of the people that is really perpetuating this idea that there is maybe more involved or there's more to the story is this guy named Vincent Hill. He is he's written two books on the subject, and he is an ex-police officer with the Nashville Police Department, and he is now a private investigator and has kind of taken this case on as kind of his white whale, as like he wants to prove that there is more to this than simply a murder-suicide. Mm-hmm. One of the things, again, that he brings up is she's this small girl. The type of gun that was used is kind of a tricky weapon. You know, for these kill shots, for her to be so accurate, is this something that could happen? I think when you're in a state that you'd have to be in to kill somebody, I'm not necessarily that questionable about her being able to pull it off.
Well, and also, I think, you know, granted, I don't know anything about guns or anything like that, but she was also in a position to be very close to him. It's not like she needed to come in and be super accurate from really far away.
Sure.
Like, she had the kind of relationship with him where she could have been intimately close to him to fire shots. And again, like, I don't know what the ballistics report or any of that is like.
Yeah.
For this case, I don't know if the shots were fired very close to him or anything like that. But to me, that doesn't seem so far out of the question. She could have been right next to him.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I mean, there's it does. It's not implausible, is my point. Agree. Like, to me, like, sure, there's some questions. Sure, there's some things. The things that again are brought up. They do trace the gun back to a known criminal, and the gun belonged to a guy named Adrian Gilliam. Adrian Gilliam is a known offender. Like, he has past records. They find a lot of communication, like over 157 text messages between Jenny and this guy. So there's affiliation. He initially lies to police because he's interviewed initially in front of his fiance, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I just met this woman randomly on the street. Like, she wanted a gun." And
was he being interviewed in front of his fiance?
I think that's, it's very suspect, stupid. As well. It's very weird. But when they do get him in a second interview, you know, a lot of his story doesn't line up. So again, this just feeds this kind of idea that there's more to the story. Some of it being like his alibi. He was supposedly with this guy. This guy cannot corroborate. He's like, "That guy wasn't with me at all. He was not with me." So there's things that, like, you know, could put this guy in the place. Here's my big question though. If it is Adrian Gilliam, and that's the person you think it is, why would he leave his fucking gun there?
Right,
that would directly lead back to him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's things in it to me, like, there's holes in this secondary possibility of a story that could be somebody else.
I don't know. I mean, this isn't something that I've looked into at all, like, this case in any way. So I'm not able to give, like, a real opinion on it. But I will say that I think when it comes to people of note, celebrities or people like that, we want to believe that there is something more sensationalized. We want to believe it's more like a movie and it's not so, like, cut and dry. But at the end of the day, they're just people too.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be anything more
than just what it is.
And also, like, what the fuck more do you want? Like, is there a murder-suicide from a toxic relationship here? I think it's as sensationalized as it needs to be. Like,
right. Well, and I think that's the thing too. But this is also part of the thing that keeps people like a Vincent Hill on the case, as it were, is because they're like, well, it was wrapped up so quickly. And if he was a nobody, would this still be an open book, open case where we're not sure? You know, they're like, did they just do this so quickly because they were like, oh, it's a celebrity, we need to have an answer immediately. And so that's, I think, the thing that keeps people, like, questioning and keeps people kind of on the case. And, you know, the little things, like, you know, well, he didn't have a will, but apparently, you know, his mom said he supposedly had a will. And then his wife's like, he doesn't have a will. So his wife gets everything. And then there's just, like, all these little tiny bits, that these little threads that keep people pulled into the story to keep investigating it.
But I also think it's that the will thing and things like that, those are just normal things that are going to come up anytime someone who's young dies.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's like, you know, dies before their time. those ends are not wrapped up typically.
Yeah, yeah, like I don't have one. If something were to happen and I'm not officially divorced or whatever. Right, so yeah, there'd be, I mean, it is, I agree with you. It's like all those threads are going to be there with anybody that's young.
Yeah. Yeah. When he was only, I think, 36 when he died. I mean, like, you know, what 36-year-old thinks, I'm going to get shot and killed. And you just...
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people with a lot of money tend to be more, like, careful about their assets. I'm so shocked. That's a possibility, like, that you could be surprised that he didn't have a will or something. Yeah. But I also think it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. When you're young, 20s, 30s, not that we obviously know about our own mortality. We know we're going to die someday, but it's not a priority for me. It's not like top of my list to like make sure I have my assets together.
Yeah.
Who's going to get my like shitty Toyota Yaris? You know, like it's not like...
I, Keegan, bequeath
my Toyota who wants Yaris. Who wants my 2008 Toyota Yaris?
I love your car.
It's cute. It's very me. I like that's my car funny. Too. But
okay, so I actually got a lot of this information. I read an ESPN article. I read, I listened to the Sports Illustrated podcast about it. Mm-hmm. I also watched a show on ID. I can't even remember the name of it. But but there's a lot of information out there. To me, again, with all the things that I read, with all of the information that I dug through, it really what my end in my professional, very professional opinion, which is nothing, but in all the looking that I did, all the research of that people have done, it really just kind of looks like that it is what it is. Unfortunately, I think this woman was just, you know, in a relationship where she saw no other way out of it. And
in a financial position, like finances, bad relationships are stressful enough and like difficult to get through enough. Financial issues are difficult on their own. Preparing that shit together and then tying it together, like he's the common thread through that. Like, I think it's just a cautionary tale of like how to treat people. Like, you know, just be careful about how you treat people. Again, in no way do I think he deserved any of this. Like, of course not. Like, all of us have been in positions where we've
been shitty
and like not taken another person's like feelings or circumstances into account. And none of us should pay for that with our lives. But it is one of those things where it's like, this is why they tell you to be nice to everybody. Yeah. You know, treat everybody the way you would want them to treat you, you know?
Yeah. But I, you know, I mean, this guy's coming off of a huge NFL career. He just retired, you know what I mean? So he's just like finally being able to, I think, probably settle into a you know, a lifestyle or whatever.
Yeah, he's married, but he had a crash pad in the city next to bars.
Look, it's all, there's a lot. Look, and at the end of the day, we can all be like, he did all those things and all these things wrong and a lot of that. But at the end of the day, you don't deserve to end up.
Agreed. And I don't want this to come across as like a victim shaming, blaming thing at all. Like in no way. She's completely responsible for her own behavior. She's responsible at the end of the day for getting herself into that position in that relationship as well. Like
you could have turned down the Escalade. You could have turned in the Escalade.
You could have turned down the relationship completely.
Yeah, like there was like, I'm not comfortable with that, right? You know, I don't want to
live above my means. Exactly. This is above
and
my
I
means.
Get that it's easier said than done. Yeah, and I understand that we've also been fed this mentality.
I have to go through it, you know, myself I'm like, you know what, I can't do like two nights in a weekend, you know,
of partying. Yeah, like it's just not feasible for me. And I understand also, in, you know, I get that we've also been fed this like narrative as women, particularly, that's like the fairy tale situation where you think some guy is going to swoop in and solve your problems and you're going to get married and live happily ever after and things are going to be great, and you have to like bring yourself back to reality, check yourself, you know what I mean? Like,
you can only rely on yourself. I've never had that like fantasy, nor like even come close to that, and being like, oh, like I'll have a partner or a provider or whatever.
Right.
And so it has always been like, I've been lucky in that has made me self-sufficient and I think a little bit more responsible, where I would never expect somebody to buy me an Escalade. Right. Yeah, that just is.
But I don't think I would imagine you're 20 years old, though, and some guy, like you said, comes in and sweeps you off your feet. 20 years old.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
Sweeps you off your feet, offers you all these things. And you're right. You have this kind of Cinderella mentality.
She's 20. He's 36.
Yeah.
I could have, and he's famous. I could have seen, yeah. I mean, I'm not one of those either to rely on someone else for, like,
but you can see how somebody could fall into that.
We have separate bank accounts, but
you can see how somebody could fall into that.
She's still like a child.
20-year-old me was making 17-year-old decisions for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no shit. Me too.
You know, and it's the unfortunate end of falling into an easy trap where a relationship takes over your life. However, again, it you know, to take it to the point where you fucking murder someone and then take your own life is, you know.
Yeah, it's that feeling of feeling disposable, I think, is probably what would fuel that for me.
Push that.
Yeah, you nobody, no, that's the worst feeling.
Yeah, when that's you feel like you're disposable to this person, they thought you were fun.
Literally days before you get out of a car that you're with me in to take a taxi. To, by the way, apparently his other mistress Leah's house.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, brutal. it's just brutal. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I rest in peace, both of them. And of course, he didn't deserve that. And I feel so bad for everyone in his life and everyone in her life. Well,
he's got four sons now.
And you got kids. Like, in no way am I trying to be like, you deserve this at all.
But that's rough.
Yeah.
It is. It was just a very interesting story. And like I said, I went in a rabbit hole with it. I was just like, and again, there's so many, I mean, we don't have like a, you know, three part mini series that we're going to do on this. If you want to listen to the three part mini series with Cat Williams voice, by all means do that as well. But you know, there's a lot of components. I can see why people still want to pick the scab of it. I see it, but it's just to me, again, with all the rabbit hole that I did, it does. I mean, I feel like the Nashville Police Department did the due diligence. I really do feel like there's so many things, and again, things that we don't know that we'll never be privy to, and that for them to have made that decision, whether it be 3 days after it happened or 3 years after it happened, I think that they obviously made, you know, I think they came to the right conclusion.
I
can't imagine we're going to turn around 20 years from now and hear a different story. So.
Right on.
Yeah. But that was the murder.
Thank you, Cassie. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know anything about that. That's crazy. I'm so far removed from like sports. Well,
he played with one of my favorite Buckeyes.
Interesting.
I was a Tennessee Titans fan, and Eddie George action back in the day.
That's a good crazy in love, because it does open up conversation about, like, you know, relationships and stuff like that.
I actually saw Steve one of the only pro football games I saw was actually a Tennessee Titans game, and Eddie George and Nick McNair, Steve McNair were playing. So yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
cool. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. And if you have stories, again, we're looking for awkward meet the family stories, shorty
or
stories,
just holiday dating stories in general. I'm into it. Did you go on a date on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve stories. Oh my god,
into that, because you know there are some awkward New Year's Eve stories. Bring it, please.
You know, here's the thing about New Year's Eve: you always think it's going to be way more fun than it is. It's that night you get dressed up to the nines, and it ends up kind of being like, oh, well, that's,
we can go to Booty. I've always had a great time at Booty on New Year's Eve.
Totally have to do it. Yeah. My New Year's Eve's, I'm the same. I've been constantly disappointed Booty.
Okay. Yes. We're going to go to Booty. All right. Anyway.
myworstdatepodcast@gmail.com. Email us. You can join our Facebook group, which has become so fun. We've had tons of people join this past week. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at Worst State Podcast.
My Worst State Podcast. Yeah.
Twitter on Worst State Pod.
We know it's confusing. I'm sorry. We had to.
I know. Stupid people with.
And Patreon. Yes! Join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/MyWorstState.
We just uploaded our ghost stories. Yes. So if you want to hear us talk about our spooky encounters, definitely get on there. We're going to be uploading some more interesting content this week.
Yes.
We got videos on there.
I want to shoot a video with my worst Christmas present.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, you have
Christmas.
One?
Yeah, yeah. I think we should all like share like my worst Christmas present.
I'll have for, to think.
Like,
oh, I got I'll a have
good
to
one.
Think on that.
Yeah. I got a good yeah, one. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
so
my God.
Think on it and we'll shoot that video. And all right. We'll sounds upload good. Because I think good. That would be fun.
Yeah. Cool. And if you join at the $10 level, we are going to be uploading our first Crazy in Love movie bonus.
That's right.
This week, which is Cruel Intentions. So yeah. Get on it.
Yeah.
Get up on it.
Well, thank you guys so much. And we will see you next time.
Cheers.
This is a Glassbox Media Podcast.